Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
Okay. Somewhere around here.
Zoom that in.
Yes.
Allie's blind as a bat.
Blind eyes.
Hello, everyone.
And welcome to Off Script.
I am Bree.
And I'm Allie. And I am Allie. And I am Allie.
Today, we're going true crime for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be an interesting one.
Man, oh man, is it ever.
Yeah, I wasn't anticipating it to be like this.
What were you anticipating? This is like exactly how I anticipated it.
For some reason, I really thought it was fiction. Like, oh, okay, that came out stupid because I obviously knew it was about was a like, real case. But I kind of, like, anticipated, like, I don't know, like a fictionalized telling of it.
Oh,
with
so
some, like true crime in it, if
okay,
that makes sense.
Yeah, because, like, so the two nonfiction books we've done so far have been Two Kisses for Maddie and The Social Network.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they made it into a movie.
Yes.
Okay, so that's what you expected.
That's what I expected.
I thought you knew it was a docuseries.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I think in doing research for this, because I was really excited that Karen was in it, and I looked up, I think I was looking up to see how many episodes she was in.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Karen Kilgariff as herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why would she be herself in this? And then it clicked and I was like, oh, okay.
Yes. So we have another, no, seven, eight, seven episode, eight episode.
It was eight episodes,
I think. Was it?
Was it seven?
I think it was seven.
Heck if I know. We've watched so many TV shows. When I finished this one, I was like, cool, we're going back to movies.
I was so excited. Yeah, it's seven episodes.
Okay.
I am so excited to go back to movies. Are you kidding me?
I did. This is where my true crime aficionado self comes in handy because I finished this whole series in a day. I was like,
wow,
yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
Did we say that we're doing I'll Be Gone in the Dark?
Oh, nope. I just said I was bringing true crime for hilarious.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Professionals.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on season 5, episode 2, I'll Be Gone in the Dark. This is your second pick for your birthday month.
It is. Mm-hmm. I love true crime, everyone.
We'll get to why you picked it in a second.
Oh, duh, yeah.
Got it.
Good point. Good point. We do that later.
Yes. But do we have any pictures? Birthday month. You got any fun things planned? Or do you want to save that for next?
Oh, actually last week. Wow. We should have did that with Good Omens.
That. We should have done it with Alaska because that'll be the week before Foxcatcher comes out the day after your birthday.
Oh, I'm not talking about birthday stuff.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the wedding that I'm in.
Oh,
the first weekend of August.
Oh, how was it?
It was great. I predicted it for you. It was funny. I was in our group chat today and everyone, we are recording this in June. Mm-hmm. So this is end of June, beginning of July. So we're about a month away from the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, Nee is, if you've watched Spirited Away, there's these cute little things that I have never seen that movie, and I know I should, so I don't know what they're called, but they're these cute little like spirit things, and she got those and made them into planters, and she's putting air plants in them, and those are the centerpieces.
Oh, cute.
And she's telling everyone that they can take them.
Yeah.
And so I said, what did I say? Oh, I was like, second she said that, I was like, oh, I'm taking one. Like, you know, I have to have an air plant in this cute little planter.
Right.
And she's like, oh, you get first dibs. And then someone else chimed in and was like, this wedding's going to be so fun. And I was like, because 4 or 5 years ago, me and Nee went on a girl's trip, and she was with her ex at the time. And she, this whole trip is her just venting to me about all of these things that I had no idea was going on in her relationship. Mm-hmm. And in that, she then told me about all of her previous relationships and like all the different things she learned from each one. And she kept talking about Ty. Mm-hmm. And all of the stories she told me about him, I was like, dude, it sounds like that's your guy, just like wrong place, wrong time. Mm-hmm. Like, if you guys had grown and started talking again, I think that's who you would end up with. And she kept telling me, she was like, no way. He doesn't feel the same way. We're just friends, yada, yada. And I was like, because he also, like, they had stopped talking and he just randomly had like sent her a message or something. And I was like, I think you should
reply.
Yeah, I was like, talk to him, because I think you're gonna marry that boy one day. Mm-hmm. Sure enough,
here we are.
Yeah, someone said this wedding's just gonna be great, and I was like, I think I'm just gonna be sitting there that day. Like, I predicted this so many years ago, like, I don't even care. And then Nee goes, oh, don't worry, that's in my vows. I was like, I made it in her vows.
That's awesome.
How cute.
So yeah, so I think it was a good wedding.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good.
I had a murder mystery bachelorette party. Bachelor, mm-hmm. bachelorette party, because they're doing it combined. Mm-hmm. That was fun. I hope I was not the murderer or the person who got killed. Yeah, I'm playing, shoot, I can't remember the funny name that I have, but I'm playing Jackie Kennedy.
Oh, cute.
And John's playing Mick Jagger. I cannot wait. Can you see it?
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
His like description said something about being a ladies man. I can't see him trying to be a ladies man.
Oh my gosh.
I am ecstatic. It's gonna be so fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I'm excited, and you guys will just have to come to probably a minisode. We'll hear all about it.
Yeah.
Probably the first or second minisode.
Yeah, I'm down to do that.
So they probably will have.
Oh,
we can do it right after.
Oh, yeah, we can do it after this. Yeah.
This minisode.
Yeah, we'll do it this minisode.
Tell us all about it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Gladly.
All right. Well, let's dive into this episode.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple trigger warnings for you.
Yes.
It is true crime. So there's a lot of murder and rape involved in these crimes that have happened. So
we're covering the Golden State Killer, and so
also known as the East Area Rapist
or the original Night Stalker.
So,
which is really confusing, because when I started listening to My Favorite Murder, they covered the Night Stalker and then covered the original Night Stalker.
Oh
yeah, it's two different stories but kind of the same thing. But I was thoroughly confused, because I was like, wait, am I listening? Did I already hear this? I was like, why are we calling different bad people with the same nicknames?
All right. Well, our synopsis is a chilling journey through the life and crimes of the exclusive Golden State Killer.
Elusive.
Thank you. You know, he's exclusive. how do you say your last name?
McNamara,
a true crime journalist, meticulously pieces together the timeline of the killer's reign of terror.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Michelle McNamara is the author of the book.
Mm-hmm.
The director, were Elizabeth Wolf, Liz Garbus, Miles Kane, and Josh Khoury.
Yeah.
Screenplay writer was Liz Garbus.
Oh, that's kind of cool that she did that and
directed.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And the audiobook reader was Gabra Zachman, Jillian Flynn.
That was cool.
Mm-hmm. Did you do the audiobook?
No, I did physical. Well, I did.
Oh, but they were still.
Yeah, I still had the introduction.
And then Patton Oswalt was afterward.
Mm-hmm. Because that is her husband.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Book came out February 27th, 2018. The movie or show came out June 28th. And I had to put how long it was going on air because it went from June 28th to August 2nd of 2020 because he was convicted June 29th, the day after the first episode aired.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I was wondering how there were cameras following them throughout that process.
Yeah, I was wondering that too.
I was like, and this is this just like everyone with like their camera phones or something?
Look at that turnaround they had to do then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. Yeah, because so like, because it said the show came out June 28th. I'm like, wait a second. But in the show, it showed him getting convicted. So what the heck? So that's why I had to put how long the show was going on for.
That's smart.
But man, I thought that was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 2-year difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know. For those that don't know, Michelle McNamara passed away. And so basically everyone that was involved in this and with her definitely attribute her thoughts to helping them catch the Golden State Killer, because they're like, a lot of this wouldn't have happened and we wouldn't have thought about this if it weren't for you. And so I just think it's kind of a cool turn of events.
Yes. So what'd you do first?
I read the book first.
I watched the series first.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
Like I said, I thought I was getting a
fake
show. So I was kind of... Once I realized that, I was like, oh, this is a weird one.
It's going to be an interesting podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just don't like true crime. So yeah. I just kind of powered through.
Yeah.
You know, it's really dumb. I was like, oh, perfect. I was like, you know, doing laundry or like, you know, working on my Shutterfly book and stuff while it's on in the background.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll get the gist of it. I was like, oh, shit. I actually have to pay attention, though. For the book, because I take all the notes for the book, because I was like, I don't really want to pay attention, because I just, it makes me feel icky.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, I, dang it, still had to.
That's hilarious. Whereas my job was way easier.
It was super easy this time.
Yeah. Like, I sat down with my notebook, I got my, like, the title up there like I always do, and halfway through the first episode, I was like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to take notes on.
I know. Like, that's okay. You'll have a hard one in at the end of the season.
Yes, I will. Thank you, John. My John.
Why do we pick it?
So I am a huge fan of My Favorite Murder. If you have not listened to our podcast, you don't know that yet. But if you do listen, it gets talked about a lot. And Karen was actually very close friends with Michelle, like to the point where like the episode after she had passed away, the one that released right after, or I think they took a break or something, but she talked about it. And basically, because after Michelle had passed, everyone on Twitter and everything was like trying to talk to Karen and like figure things out. And she's like, it's sweet that we have this support system, but at the same time, we're all grieving.
Mm.
Like, I need you to stop. Like,
right.
I need time. I lost a dear friend. She's like, yes, she was this true crime journalist. Yes, it's a big hit for everyone. So everyone wants to reach out to me. And I love that. But at the same time, it's a personal thing that I'm going through. Right. And like, she talked about her relationship with Patton and all this. And so I felt bad that I had not read it yet. And I was like, how have I not? And then when it got turned into a show, I was like, oh, I'll just toss it in off script at some point.
And little then, did you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Little did I know it was not what I was predicting.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there's only one fun fact because it's a docuseries, I guess.
I'm also thoroughly confused why it's a fun fact.
I don't really know. All it was that Amy Mann performs the series theme song, Avalanche.
Which is a cover of Leonard Cohen's.
Yeah. That's your fun fact for this one.
That's funny.
Oh, man. All right. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
So the book opens with a note from Gillian Flynn, who helped finish this book after Michelle died. And it's how they met and what a great person she was and all this sort of stuff. And how she became a citizen detective.
Yeah, Gillian was not in the show. I think you saw her at a like Comic Con thing, or not a. I found out that there is a true crime con.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, how did I miss that? But she was there talking about the book. But other than that, this little bit was not in the show.
Okay. Then we have a prologue, and Michelle's letting us know how her obsession with the Golden State Killer began. She named him the Golden State Killer because he hit so many places in California, and she became obsessed with the case. And she would do it after, like, research it after her daughter and husband went to bed. And she had this message board and blog for other people who were interested in this case or just cases in general. They shared ideas and theories. And it was like there was this one cufflink from one of the victims that she became interested in. She finally found it at a pawn shop and she ordered it. And she tells her husband, I think I found him.
I think my favorite part of the show was seeing how supportive Patton was. Because, I mean, this has got to be a weird thing for your wife to be
super weird,
obsessed with. Yeah. And like, he knew that she knew every little detail about serial killers. And he does say that he also knows a lot about serial killers, but it wasn't his life. Like, he wasn't trying to write about it or like her being a citizen detective and catch the Golden State Killer.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was really sweet seeing that. I was like, oh, that's so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And in the show, I feel like a lot more of her research was explained than what was written.
Yeah.
Because I think she was trying to tell us a story with the book because she was writing a book. And so she didn't want to bore us with all of the research that she was doing. And so, like, there were times in the show where I was like, holy shit, she actually went and dug for this.
Yeah. And then I also, it's a mix of she had died before the book was released.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, like, she was planning on going and explaining things more. Yeah. But she couldn't. Yeah.
Or like one thing that I made note of is in the show, it talks about how Michelle had gone to Northern Ireland with a boss and had been raped by her boss. And went through that story. And that's not in the book. But at the end, you also see that she, like, her in her outline, she had planned on touching on it. And I think, honestly, that would have helped kind of explain. Because, yes, at the start, it tells about how there was a case in her hometown that made her, like, ooh, I'm into true crime. But I always wondered, I was like, Golden State Killer is such a, like, specific one to hone in on.
Yeah.
I honestly think her story within the what happened in Northern Ireland is what kind of drove that.
Yeah.
The other thing that's different, too, is the cold case that happened in her neighborhood when she was young doesn't happen in the show until the very last episode. I really thought that they were just skipping it out.
I was so confused. I was like, hold on. Like, am I just not paying attention? Like, yeah, I just didn't get it. I don't know why they put it at the end. I think they put it at the end because you're going into this docuseries wanting to know about the Golden State Killer, and then
yeah, that's true.
If the first episode is not the Golden State Killer, then you might lose interest.
That's actually true. Mm-hmm. That's true. But it was still like, I felt like the story was already done. And so then why are we getting back into the story? Yeah,
they should have just left it off.
Mm-hmm.
Or done a very quick.
Mm-hmm. Or start with like some of her research and then be like, but this is what got her into true crime, and then go into that for the first episode.
Right.
And then go back to the Golden State Killer.
That would be a really good idea.
Yeah.
So we book continues. We're learning about these deaths from these random people that I don't really understand. That was who she got involved with?
Yes. There was a cold case in her neighborhood that was a young woman was on a run. She was like 24 and she was killed. And they never to this day, they have never found who did it. And that kind of was what kickstarted her, because she was very young when it happened. Mm-hmm. And she was like, how could this have happened and no one knows anything? And like, she met up with people from her high school who actually were some of the kids who came across the body and were like the people who called the cops or who ran to a house to have someone call the cops. And so I was talking to them about it, and it was only just the one girl who died.
Mm-hmm. And Michelle's at a Hollywood party for Patton, and she gets word that a killer that she's been obsessed with has just been caught, and she calls her friend and they chat about it. And then she gets out of the party as soon as she can.
I mean, they kind of talk about that. They touch on it and talk about how she was more into her true crime stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't necessarily see that exactly.
Yeah. So we get all this background on her childhood and her parents' relationship with her and her mom specifically, who, and they had a very strained relationship. And when she had her daughter, she realized how much her mom loved her, but unfortunately her mom had already passed away.
The show, the one thing that the show did, it definitely touched more on Michelle's life too, rather than just her research on the Golden State Killer.
Yeah.
And so it, like, her siblings were involved in the show, her husband, obviously, friends. And so everyone kind of talked about her life. And also they talked about, because one thing that doesn't get mentioned in the book, it's not like she's writing the book and telling how it's hard for her to hit her deadlines for the book. And so she's staying up extra late and needs sleeping pills and needs pills to help her stay awake and focus and all this. And so the show touches on how she had just basically started taking pills to help her accomplish her goals.
Yep. Okay, there. Then we get to Matt. See, this is the background on Michelle's, the murder that happened in her town.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so the what was random, the murder the random before? People were part of the Golden State Killers.
Oh, okay.
It was the husband and the wife who were, why can't I think of their names? No, I feel horrible that I can't think of their names. It was the husband who actually wasn't the husband and wife. It was just the wife. It was the husband who had been in the hospital.
Okay.
When the wife had gotten murdered.
Okay.
And the brother came and was asked to clean up the room.
Yes, that's right. I just don't get why that would be, like, it just seemed out of order, out of place.
Because that was the start into Golden State's. What it was she was giving us, well, not giving us, giving the victims their story.
Mm-hmm.
So that we knew about the victims and knew about their life.
Oh.
And not full on being like, this was his blah, blah, blah victim. It was, look, this was a person and this is how they died.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. All right. So now we're going in. We're starting to dive deeper. So we got Sacramento 76 to 77, and we're learning about the East Area Rapist, also known as the Ear, also known as the Golden State Killer.
Mm-hmm.
We were getting details on the first couple girls he attacked, and on the fifth girl, Michelle learned that he tied her up and he patrolled outside her house for days to make sure he knew her schedule.
The thing that creeps me out is so many of these guys actually patrol people's houses,
mm-hmm.
and like stake them out and figure things out. And it creeps me out. And also, I'm too much of a paranoid person where if I came into my house and I saw that something was moved even slightly, I would freak out. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, I did not do that. What? I was house sitting this last weekend and like freaking, I had to leave the guest room light on because they have a automatic kitty litter box, but it's like on the fritz. And so it won't do its thing for some reason unless the light's on. And so I was leaving it on all weekend, but there were a few times where the light was off. And I know myself, I know for a fact that I like went in there to feed the cats. And when I left, instinct kicked in and I turned the light off. But the next time I walked by the room, I would sit there and be like, I didn't turn that off. Did I turn that off? I didn't. Or like her nightstand. I sent her a picture because I was like, what the fuck does this open by itself? Because her drawer opened and she told me literally the cats do it all the time. Like if it gets bumped just the wrong way, it just opens. And then it happened like five more times. So I was like, okay, yeah, it's the cat. But I definitely had quite a few times where I was like, I need to call the cops. I need to call John. John's got to get his ass over here and look this place up and down for me. Even though I know what would happen is I would get him on the phone and be like, John, there's someone in the apartment with me. And he'd be like, no, you're crazy. You watch too much true crime.
You're screwed if ever there is someone.
I know. That's what I tell him every time. He's like, go ahead and check the rooms with me on the phone. I'm like, what are you going to do if you hear someone killing me?
Right?
It's like, no one's going to be. I'm like, what if? What if?
All right. So we learn about the policeman on the job, and one of them is like really good at talking to victims. The other is a really good detective, but not as great talking to victims. And there's a victim that wasn't raped because she was able to get kind of away because the ear thought she was someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Like he mistakenly picked her up when he was scoping out someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you guys, there's so much detail on each person in this book, and I give the complete bare minimum detail. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, we are not a true crime podcast.
No, we are not.
If you're into it, go read or watch the show.
Yep.
Read the book or watch the show, I should say.
Yep. So someone was shot near the ear's normal area of attack, but it was,
which is not the EAR's MO. I'm just gonna start spouting off things.
No, do it.
You were getting confused with your
my notes. Tell.
Yeah. So basically, someone was shot near one of the EAR's victims, but being shot was not in one of his regular neighborhoods. But shooting people was not his MO. His MO was raping and tying him up. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, this is strange. So they didn't totally think it could have been him, but like they kind of thought it could have been. And later on, they figured out that it was him.
Mm-hmm. And so the press,
so they should have followed that lead.
Yes. The press said he's only attacking single girls, which then he's like, oh, okay. And then he starts attacking couples because mm-hmm. he's like, look what I can do.
Mm-hmm. You think this is what I can do? Guess what? I can do more.
Mm-hmm. So he starts putting dishes on the men. And he says, if I hear these, I will start shooting everybody. And theories came up that he might have been a police officer. They really believe he was part of the military.
Spot on, gentlemen.
Got it right. He was a former cop or a current cop.
He was current.
That's disgusting.
Mm-hmm. This is what horrifies me the most, because there are far too many true crime stories where it's a cop.
Yeah.
And it's just them using their power.
Right.
Like they know I can get away with it.
How to do it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So attack.
This is why you listen and you watch that. You're aware of these things. You'd rather trust the cop who's going to kill you?
I would rather just like not know and live in La La Land, and then
a cop come to your door and you're like, oh no, officer.
If something happened, something happened, but I'd rather not know about
it. Me, I'm like, prepare me. If there's corrupt people in cop uniforms and firefighter uniforms, tell me.
No. Anyways, so attack.
I want to know how to fight people off or who I got to fight off.
Would you be able to fight them? That's the thing. It's like, okay, I can be prepared, but I'm not going to be able to do anything if the situation really happens. So now I'm worried about it. when it might not happen or worried about it and it will happen. But then,
well, no,
I don't, what am I to do?
What it does, like, obviously, I don't know. In the situation, I might not be able to attack them, right? But I would be a little bit more, like, wary. Because, like, cops, you automatically trust a cop because mm-hmm. they are law enforcement. They're mm-hmm. supposed to protect you. So you automatically kind of let your guard down. No, now my guard will never be down around a cop. Sorry, cops.
It's just like, have you seen Raya, the Last Dragon?
Yeah.
And it's like the scene where she's like, yeah, we can trust nobody. The world's broken. We can't trust anybody. And then Raya's, or the dragon, Shishu, something like that. She's like, well, maybe the world's broken because we don't trust anybody. So if we all just trust each other and just we're happy, kumbaya.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
Anyway, so
I would like to think that would fix it.
I know, wouldn't that be nice? So we're on attack number 23, and he told the girl, if I'm on the news again, I'm going to kill the next day. But then he went in the other room and told the husband, if I'm not on the news, I'm going to kill the next day. And this was in the south area, so he has now moved.
Mm-hmm.
So there are also other, you know, rapists in the area doing their thing, and they're not getting a lot of attention because everybody's focused on the ear, so they're not getting fair trials and all this sort of stuff. And someone did a hypnosis to get as much information from one of the victims as they could, and we find out there
it actually wasn't a victim, it was the cop that chased the guy down who got hypnotized.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So they were trying, because he actually saw the Golden State Killer.
Oh yeah. And but he didn't know it was him. Mm-hmm. He's like, everybody's like, why didn't you shoot? I'm like, or he said he was a guy on a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
he did what he was supposed to do.
Yeah. He did what he was supposed to do, but he also shouldn't have, you yeah. know,
now we
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if it had been an opposite thing where he's shot first and then been like, oh, well, I thought he was bad. And
kind
he
of
was,
like how things are today.
Yeah. Then, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are a couple more rapes and murders going on, and some people believe it's the East Area Rapists and others don't.
Yeah.
So we learn about the DNA technology and how DNA has been tracking down serial rapists, and because a lot of the time they're all linked together, so it's easier to track down serial rapists versus serial killers because there's a lot more
DNA left behind.
Mm-hmm. And there's more victims yeah. rather than murder. Like murder they might do like however many, but they can continue to do
yeah
inappropriate horrible things.
Yeah. This doesn't really get talked about in the show until a little bit later because this is how they catch the Golden State Killer.
Yep.
So obviously got to save that for
yep.
the end.
Mm-hmm. So we learn all about the DNA technology, and I already read that. And so in Irvine in 1986, we're following what seems like new cases. This guy is talking with his friends about how he's thinking of killing this girl, but just kidding, I'm not. But then the friend's like, you're freaking crazy. And then he went and told the cops about this guy, and the girl ends up dead. So obviously this is a suspect, but he's eliminated because of DNA. And so they test all of her friends, and like guy friends are all eliminated. And
but wow, my brain just clicked it together. The cops that he told was probably the Golden State Killer.
Oh.
So then he was like, oh, if I go and kill her and get him arrested for it.
Oh, maybe. This is self.
Yeah, this is not fact. This is not. This is me
putting her yeah. citizen detective puzzle mm-hmm. pieces together.
Being like, holy crap, hold on. No, this, if there's one thing this show and book made me want to do, it made me want to go find a cold case that I can dig into, but I definitely don't have the free time for that. I would love oh my
mental
god
capacity, that's just too much.
If I could help with a case like this, I would be so happy.
Oh my gosh.
I know, sometimes I'm like, maybe I should have gone into like forensic something, but I don't think I could handle seeing crime scenes. That's why I'm like, I'll stick to the citizen detective stuff.
Yeah.
Give me the clues and I'll piece it together for you. It's a big escape room.
Right? All right. So we have an editor's note, and he tells us that this bit of notes was from Michelle about other cases that she wanted to look into, but she never got up, like, was able to finish it. Mm-hmm. And so then he listed some stories.
Mm-hmm.
So then we keep going. And now we're at Goleta in 1979, and this guy's dog was slashed and, like, it's like gutted almost.
Mm-hmm.
But still alive. They went and they saved the dog, and they're trying to figure out what she got cut on. And they couldn't find anything. And a week later, there was an East Area Rapist victim in that area. And after that, or she ended up escaping. But after that, they never escaped again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then we're at 1981, and we're following these couple murders, trying to figure out who did it. And there was an open house, and this guy goes in and breaks all the locks so that he could sneak back in. And that's what he did.
Yep.
Now we're at Orange County in 2001, and the police are trying to put all the puzzle pieces together. The last few murders that we just read about. So all the murders, trying to puzzle piece them up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are flashing back to Contra Costa, 1997. And
the thing that's crazy to me too is, like, in this, you realize, like, obviously I listen to My Favorite Murder all the time, and they always talk about how, like, it'll be a case from the 80s or 90s and they can't get the guy because of DNA. But you never, like, think about it until you're reading or watching a show and you're like, holy shit. Like, first off, I was 5, and in my head, DNA testing was definitely a thing back right. then, when in actuality, it really only started, like, around that time.
No, I was shocked when on the show, I think they said it in the book too. Mm-hmm. They were talking about, it was like in the 70s, how the, like, cleanup crew wasn't even a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, family had to just go clean up all the blood and everything.
Yes.
My gosh.
I'm like, what kind? No wonder all of, like, that generation has such bad trauma.
I know. Seriously. My gosh. So they're learning more about certain cases that are happening, and they're linking them with different DNA tech. And so one morning, 25 years later, victims found a newspaper saying that Orange County murders are linked with the East Area Rapist case. And they were like, what the heck? It's 25 years later. And it seems possible that they might be able to catch him, because for 2 decades, the Green River Killer was dormant because he got married. And then because of DNA and social media, he's discovered again.
Mm-hmm. Our own serial killer.
We got Ted Bundy and
Green River.
Yeah.
And I feel like we have more. I know we have a lot more, like, just murderers, but...
You know the Ted Bundy? So he went to Wilson High School,
mm-hmm.
and his locker is blocked off. No one's allowed to use it. I think I told you that, didn't
mm-hmm.
I? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Craziness.
I know. I get it. Like, if it was someone who, like, had died not because they were a serial killer.
Right.
I think
I'm idolizing this locker.
Yeah. Part of me thinks it's almost like them being superstitious, like you can't use it in case you end up like them. But that also then just, like, everyone sees it and it's like, oh, it's Ted Bundy's locker.
Yeah. I mean, I was told this about 10, how long have we been graduated now? This is probably I was probably told this about
15 years
ago. So I'm wondering if it has changed. So I bet anyone.
Yeah. If someone's going to Wilson or knows.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Yep.
But what's crazy to me is Green River. Like, I knew Green River Killer was ours, but do you know how close we are to the Green River? It's literally like a 10-minute drive from us.
Yeah, it's the one by Puyallup, right? Or is that that's Puyallup River.
No, that's the Puyallup River. No, it's
Green,
like,
River. I know Green River College is right by us.
It's the one that's like, it's funny because I know it because Nee's parents live, like, right there on it. And it's, like, on our way to Tequila, to South Center.
Oh, okay.
It's that river.
Wow. That's spooky.
Yeah. And because one time I was dropping Nee off. She had, like, flown up to visit her parents. And so I was, like, we were hanging out and I picked her up and dropped her off. And when I was dropping her off, I was like, Green River what? And she's like, you didn't realize? I was like, no. I thought it was like Seattle area, like way far away from us. She's like, no. And then she told me that the drop off, like right there, was where
all the bodies were.
Yeah,
found.
I was like, what?
That's ooh, yeah, spooky.
Yeah,
craziness.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so we're in Sacramento, 2012, and there's details about how she became a citizen detective, specifically on this case. And how all the forums began and all the blog posts began and everything like that. Because of this, she's able to meet with other citizen detectives. And they all get to, like, put their two cents in about this case.
See, I think that would be so fun, working with other people to be like, ooh, let's figure this out.
Yeah.
Come on, don't you like puzzles. You like escape rooms. It's just like a big puzzle.
Yeah, but it's like, if it's not fake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dissect people getting raped and murdered.
Well, no, think about it like the guy's out on the loose. Do you want to help catch him? Or do you want him to be able to be out on the loose?
Well, yeah, that'd be cool. But I need to know every single detail of every single thing he's done.
Yeah.
Which is less cool.
No, I would want just the like... Give me the cufflinks. Give me the, you know, bullet point it.
So we have more details on the Golden State Killer and all the victims and all that sort of stuff. And then he liked to scatter things. So he stole things from one house and scatter them at the next house. I don't get why people like.
Because they can. They're getting away with it. So it gives them a high. Like, ooh.
Dumb.
I'm able to do that. To me, I'm like, you're leaving breadcrumbs, you right. idiot.
Yeah.
But he was a cop, so he was like, I know what to do.
I knew what to do.
They're not gonna.
Right. So Michelle is then talking to a neighbor about a burglary that happened at their, that was almost at their house and ended up being at the neighbor's house. And she was just comforting the neighbor and stuff like that.
And she felt bad too, because she like, they had come up and rang her doorbell a few times. And when she drove off, she had a gut feeling about them. I was like, this is not good. But then was like, I'm running late. I got to go get dinner with Patton and my kid. So whatever. And then when she got back, she found that out. And I was like, oh, shit. I should have said something. That part didn't get talked about in the show.
It did not. Nope. So we're back at Contra Costa.
Yeah.
And it's 2013, and they're re-looking at all the police notes, all the victim notes and investigators, and she noticed that he started changing, saying, instead of saying I, when he's talking to the victims, he starts saying we, and that was a change that happened, and Michelle's chatting and exploring with different locations with Paul Holes, who's a different citizen detective / crime writer. Or is it the cop?
He's an actual detective.
Oh, okay.
Poor Paul Holes.
Sorry, dude.
He's actually a very famous detective.
Oh, good job on your work.
What's proud funny of is, you. Like, he's someone who, like, true crime fans know of. I only know of him because of My Favorite Murder. And, like, that's when I realized that I'm a fan of it. I'll watch it. But I didn't know any of these detectives that I should know as a fan. But the girls would always talk about how sexy he was. I was like, I didn't know who he was. So I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then it was just kind of cool because they then were able to like get him on the show. And like, I got to see their relationship with him kind of like, you know,
yeah,
blossom out of this. And so when I finally saw him on the, TV, he's a good looking dude. I wouldn't say he's like super sexy, but he's good looking.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure. I don't remember which one he was.
He's the one who started talking about the DNA testing because he was the one who sent in the Golden State Killer's DNA to that one website. She doesn't remember.
I don't. So then we have details on suspects and how years later they're going back confirming that now that they have proper DNA. Confirming yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're over in LA 2014, and Michelle thought she found the guy. She was so excited, but it ended up being a bust because it was proven no by DNA, and she was just devastated. And Patton was very encouraging, and he got her an awesome anniversary gift, and she's like, that's how much I've been obsessed with this case. I totally even forgot to get him a gift.
Not even a card. I was like, aw.
Yep. Michelle's friends wrote this last chapter, and after she died, and it was all information on the notes that they found on her computer.
Friends, it was the person who had been helping her with all of her research, and then her editor.
Friends?
I mean, I guess, yeah.
And then we have the afterword, and Patton's talking all about Michelle and their relationship and stuff.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Mm-hmm. Then we have the epilogue, and it kicks off with Michelle's message to the Golden State Killer. Mm-hmm. If he were ever to be found, which he was. Mm-hmm. And we have details on how the book was created and finished after she died. Details on how they're making the HBO special on D'Angelo. And that he was captured and caught. And the Golden State Killer has been detained. And her work kept it in the public eye. But police keep saying it's not because of her work that we solved it.
What assholes?
Was this part not in the book?
No.
The written? No. Oh, yeah.
Only her message, not the rest of it. Yeah. Holy crap.
So, yeah. Several times the police are like, no, it's not because of the only thing that this book, we got no information from the book other than it kept people interested in the case. So it kept it popular for people to keep researching it. But they're like, we didn't get anything from this book.
What assholes. Oh my god.
I know. I was like, okay, that's kind of rude.
That's incredibly rude.
Right.
Especially since the only reason the person who sent his DNA in to get it caught was because of Michelle.
Right. I'm like, okay.
Cool. We aren't asking you if she like helped you get more clues from the case. Right. Holy crap. What dicks?
I know. Agreed. Anyway, so that was the book.
Yeah, and basically the show covered all of that, but talked a lot more about Michelle. We got to see D'Angelo get caught. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of cool. And see the, like, we got the conclusion of the story.
Yeah.
So that's Dude, nice.
His, like, because he was allowed to, like, once he made a...
when he said that he was sorry.
Yes!
Oh, I wanted to smack him so hard.
So he made the plea, or not the plea, like, whatever, the deal. Yeah,
he was trying to make a plea deal so that he wouldn't have to get freaking time in jail.
And so they're like, would you like to, you've heard all these counts, would you like to say anything? He just stands up. He's like this old guy now, right? Mm-hmm. But he's not too, I mean, he looks old.
But he's not.
He was like 25 in the 70s. So what does that mean he's now? He was born in the 50s. 50.
80? 70?
I don't know, something like that. But he looks like a zombie mummy guy. He's like that. Mm-hmm. He's like can barely move and stuff. And it's like he just stands up and he's like, I heard your pleas, or I heard your whatever
stories.
And I'm sorry.
And then he sat down. I was so mad. I was like, I can't remember what the judge said, but the judge said something that was just like, I was so glad he said it, because I was like, yes, you are right. I can't believe, like, what a freaking asshole. Like, there are, not that I'm saying that I think any serial killer who gets up on the podium and, like, apologizes or anything deserves to, like, have his time reduced or anything, but there have been people who get on the stand who apologize, who you can tell they are sorry.
Yeah.
There is something in them where they're like, wow, that was messed up that I did that. This dude, no.
Not at
he
all.
He was sorry he got caught.
Yep.
Literally, second he sat down, that came out of my mouth. I'm sitting in a room alone watching this, and I go, you're just sorry you got caught. Like, that's why you're apologizing.
Oh,
right now.
My gosh. I just couldn't. Could you imagine, though? Okay. This is going to sound bad, but I'm not condoning, obviously, anything these horrible serial killers and rapists do. But it's like, you think you got off scot-free, right? And then here it is 40 years later, and the police are knocking on your door being like, guess what? We know what you did. You'd be like, I wasn't doing anything for 40 years.
Why are you coming after me now? No, my favorite in any, my favorite murder story is when they say that the person fires their lawyer and decided to represent themselves. Because I'm like, that's like your nail in your coffin, dude.
Right?
Because it's always the people who are claiming innocence who are like, I never would have done that. But their lawyer's like, you got to take the plea deal or you got to do this. And yeah. They're like, no, because I'm innocent. So then they fire him because they're like, I can represent myself better.
Oh my gosh. So dumb.
I'm like, no, you can't represent yourself better. You're a dick through and through.
I just also can't, like, my mind can't wrap around people who want to be lawyers for
those are
the bad guys.
I don't know if they want to be for the bad guys.
Yeah.
I think it takes a special kind of person because they know the kind of work that they're getting into.
They probably make a lot of money, too.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's a hard, hard job.
Yeah, I would be so miserable all the time.
Mm-hmm. Especially the thing is, like, if you're not a lawyer for that side, you tend to have cases that you win more often than you lose, right?
Right.
So imagine always losing.
Right.
And sometimes it's like death penalty cases or death row or XYZ.
Right.
So it's got a weigh on them, mm-hmm. too.
No way. Too much. Blech.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, you guys. So we got some cast. Not really cast. Just.
Yeah.
People on the thing.
On the crew that helped Michelle get this together.
Yep. And so IMDb put on 36 people in this docuseries.
Yeah.
Number one was Patton Oswalt.
I love him.
Michelle's husband.
Yep. So much. I didn't realize, like, when Michelle died, I, like, didn't know who she was married to until My Favorite Murder when I was listening to Karen talk about her relationship with Patton. And I was like, wait, is that the dude who's in Ratatouille?
Ratatouille, King of Queens. Yes, yeah. I love him. I was
like, hold on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's good.
Yep. Paul Haynes was Michelle's researcher.
Mm-hmm. He was, I felt so good for them when they all, like, at the end, when everything came together.
Uh-huh.
And he was caught. They got to celebrate in that. It sucks because Michelle wasn't there, but they all got to, like,
yeah,
take part in that. And it loved that.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were excerpts from Michelle's book, and they were read by Amy Ryan.
Dude,
Holly.
Huh?
Oh, Holly from The Office.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow. Her voice sounded like the recordings of Michelle.
It did.
I didn't think it was anyone else.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Wow. Good job, Holly. JK, you're Amy Ryan.
Then we got Larry Crompton was the detective.
He was one of the detectives. Was the first detective on the case. And he was a sweet little old man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we got Paul Holes, apparently very famous chief of forensic.
Yes, yes. Chief of forensics, as Alex over here calling him a citizen detective.
He's not just in forensics, he's the chief of forensics. Whoops.
Stop doing your citizen detective work, sir. Get back to your day job.
Oh my gosh, this is why it's not a true crime podcast. I know nothing.
That'd be hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he did good.
And then we got your girl.
Oh, my girl, Karen Kilgariff from My Favorite Murder. She was there to talk about her pal. It made me so happy. Mm-hmm. Except it was so weird for me to see her face. Like, I'm so used to just her voice. So I was like, whoa, I see your face while you're talking. This is weird for me.
Oh my gosh. And then we have Richard Shelby, who is one of the detectives that she mentioned quite a lot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Good work, sir.
Yep. Billy Jensen was a crime writer.
Mm-hmm. He also helped finish up Michelle's book.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also been on the My Favorite Murder podcast quite a few times.
Mm-hmm. Daniel Greenberg was Michelle's literacy.
Let me help you talk.
Thank you. Her agent. And then Jennifer Barth was the editor of I'll Be Gone in the Dark, and she apparently was also on here somewhere.
I don't completely remember her.
I don't either.
But I just, one of my favorite things was one of the last few episodes when all the victims got together and were like celebrating him getting caught and like got together so that they could go and tell their story to the court. Mm-hmm. And like, it's such a shitty situation, but I just love that they were able to basically make a family out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved seeing that. And then like seeing Patton meet them all. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's just got to be amazing. And it makes me sad because I doubt Michelle got to meet them. She probably just wrote about them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that would have been good for her.
I know. I liked 2 out of the 7 episodes. One was where right after Michelle had died and we got her whole story, mm-hmm. all about her and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one where he was convicted
and all the victims did their speech and stuff.
Yep.
Except for, I think it's kind of weird that the victims go to True Crime Con. I mean, I guess it's good because their story gets to be told, their side of it gets to be told, but I don't know. I feel like if I were a victim, I wouldn't.
No, why would you want to go to somewhere that is like everyone's obsessed with, oh my gosh, this is so cool, this thing that happened. And it's like,
or like in the show, it showed them like signing books and stuff and then like the people giving them hugs and stuff. And I like, obviously, yes, we're all sad about what happened to them, but like to actually go and physically say that.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I would just, I mean, I guess, I don't know, because I'm, you know, obviously not in that situation,
mm-hmm.
but I would think, I would feel like these people think I'm a celebrity for this horrible thing I went through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, is the theme of the book and the movie the same?
Why? Sure, yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Do the characters stay true?
I mean, yeah, for the character is the Golden State Killer, so
yeah,
I'd say so.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Do you prefer the book or the movie?
I have learned that I am not a true crime book fan.
Mm.
It was hard.
Wow, really?
Read. Yeah, I was bored more often than not.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, I thought you might be.
I am.
I have kept my mouth shut on. There have been many times when I wanted to text you and be like, holy fuck. What did I do to us? So yeah, I preferred the show. I'm more about, man, let me listen to that podcast, get that story that way. Let me watch the show and get it that way. But the thing, I'm weird with my shows too when it comes to true crime. Like, my dad is where I get my true crime love from. He can turn on any true crime show and watch it. Me, it has to, I hate reenactments. I hate actor reenactments. It has to be, I don't want to hear the same murder story over and over and over and over again. So it has to be one that I haven't heard. I've recently found one that I absolutely love called Evil Lives Here. And it's stories from like family members or people who lived with the people who did crazy stuff. And that's a great show. There's still stupid ass reenactments in it, but I like it enough. Like, I like the stories because I like hearing from the family who's like,
mm-hmm.
their minds. There was one where the fucking mom and dad turned their son in and like had to trick him to keep him in the house until the police could come. Wow. For like a whole day. Yeah.
Well, in the docuseries, they had D'Angelo's like nephew on, mm-hmm. and his ex-wife on.
Mm-hmm. So like things like that, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, or ex-fiance. They weren't, because he wanted.
Oh, no, it was the ex-girlfriend. It wasn't even fiance. It was the girlfriend who broke up with him. That was a difference. I'm so glad you said that. I didn't write it down. In the book, she said that when he was crying in the corners after doing stuff to the victims, he would say, I'm sorry, mommy, mm-hmm. or you made me do it, mommy. But in the show, it was Bonnie, not mommy.
Ah.
So then I was like, wait, which one is it?
I would think it would be Bonnie.
I think so, too, because Bonnie was the ex-girlfriend yeah. who then I think made him turn into who he was.
That is a difference. That's a huge
mm-hmm.
difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so here I am reading the book thinking that he's upset at his mom
which,
for some
I mean,
reason.
I guess they wouldn't know until they knew who it was.
That's actually true.
Because yeah. then they found out, oh my gosh,
mm-hmm.
you were with a Bonnie.
Mm-hmm. That's actually very true.
Mm. All right. Oh, I guess I also prefer the docuseries because...
yeah, true crime books are...
It was just... same. I'm not super into the all the details that the mm-hmm. books have to go into.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was like so scientific and so yeah. like
yeah. yeah. Whereas I mean the series was not only it wasn't just true crime, it was a whole mm-hmm. about Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
So it was yeah. more enjoyable.
Yeah.
Would you recommend it?
Depending on the person. Mm. If it was a true crime fan. And it's also hard because, like, I would recommend the show for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, I would probably recommend the show to, like, say someone's like, I kind of want to get into this, but I'm not into this. I'd be like, yeah, sure. Watch this. This is good. You've got Patton Oswalt in it. There's a good start for you. And the book, like, if I knew that they liked reading true crime books,
mm-hmm.
then I would. And what's funny, too, is I always thought that I wanted to go and find Michelle's blog. But after this, I was like, I don't think I could. I'm sorry, Michelle.
No, I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I guess I'll take that back. I guess I would do same if mm-hmm. I knew they were into it. Mm-hmm. Sure. Because I can take myself out of my dislike for true crime to realize that it was written very well
yeah.
as a true crime book because yeah. it... She was very scientific and had all the details, but she also tried to put a little story twist to every character, mm-hmm. not character, every victim.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing, too. She definitely made it because true crime's hard because you don't want to glorify the serial killer
right.
or the bad guy. And you want to do it in a way where victims' families aren't like offended
yeah.
by you putting out their story. And I think she did it in a way. Where it felt like she was actually, like, bringing the victims to life and, like, giving them
mm-hmm.
humanity.
Yeah. So I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I would recommend it if someone was interested in it.
Yeah.
But I am not.
Yeah. yeah. I have learned that I'm not into the books. I want someone to tell me the stuff that you went and researched.
Right. You do the work. You just tell me the story.
yeah. No wonder I love My Favorite Murder.
And tell it to me in an entertaining way.
Yeah. yeah. Make jokes sometimes that are, you know, dark humor.
oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, that's that.
That is that.
Woohoo. Mm-hmm. We did it. All right, you guys. So we got a website. Did you know?
I would hope you did.
It's a pretty good one.
You can chat to us through there.
You know what? It has been updated. It has all of our season 5 books ooh. On there. So you can see our whole schedule.
Mm-hmm. What's coming up?
And
a series that Allie's going to hate.
yeah, that's right. Oh, God.
Sorry. The thing with that one is it's a story. It's not true crime.
Yeah,
it's just a story that follows a bad guy. So we'll see how that goes.
Okay. Yep. yeah, we'll get there. but it's a pretty cool website. You should go check it out. We got offscript253.wixsite.com/offscript.
Easy peasy.
Yep.
Lemon squeezy.
It's also in our show notes and in mm-hmm. our social media bios. Mm-hmm. Easy access for you.
You can find it everywhere.
Yep. You also can rate, subscribe, review us anywhere.
Yes, please do. That helps us out. That helps us get to more listeners' ears. Because
mm-hmm.
we all know they want to hear
right?
us professionals.
We have new merch on our website too. Yes, we do. Of our brand new logo.
Mm-hmm.
And we are professionals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to get me one of those We're Professionals ones.
I know, right? Yeah. Because we are professionals.
We sure are. And then a reminder that season 6 is all listener picks.
Mm-hmm. We have about that 9.
Season 6 listener picks. Oh my gosh.
So
you
excited
guys.
About that.
I am labeling that season that just for
oh
future.
Oh my gosh.
Gosh, it's like we did it on purpose. How many spots we got left?
9.
9 spots.
Mm-hmm.
We will stop advertising once they are all filled up.
Mm-hmm.
So
send them in.
Yep. And then on Wednesday, we have our mini-sode, which I guess we're going to talk about
Knee's wedding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And whatever
Gladly.
Else we got going
Knee's
on.
Knee's murder mystery, Knee's wedding.
And we should see if we can have Knee on.
That would be actually a great idea. I'll talk to her about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's not that she's, you know, busy with her honeymoon or whatever else she's got going on.
I don't know when they're, because.
What?
I don't know when they're doing their honeymoon because Ty's a cop.
Oh. Do you trust Ty very much?
Oh, I trust him full-heartedly. But he's also, he's a big true crime fan. Yeah. So I know.
Maybe that's his alibi. Maybe he's a true crime fan, so he knows what to avoid doing in murder situations.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, so I don't know when they're doing their honeymoon. Yeah, that would be a blast.
And then we have Monday looking for Alaska.
I was going to say a complete 180, but it's not super. This whole season, I realize, is like super dark, except for Ender's Game and then our last month.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What was our first one? Our first one wasn't, I mean, I guess it was kind of dark, but it
yeah,
was
Good
more
Omens,
comedy.
Yeah, Good Omens was more comedy, but it's still.
Yeah, no.
On the darker. I went from like, okay, guys.
You went so dark this year. I don't even know what was going on.
Well, okay, so you know what it was? I knew that I wanted to schedule Silence of the Lambs soon, but I didn't want to schedule it during the seasons that and are like your birth month and those months, because I was like, that's too, it's quotation scary. So I was like, so it should go fall. Near Halloween. And then I was like, well, if I'm doing Silence of the Lambs, it's got to be the whole series. Because I don't know, I would just feel weird doing one book for that.
Yeah.
Like, okay. We're following a character. Might as well just follow him through.
Got it.
So that's how that happened. And then my birthday month, actually, a lot of these I had to flip around with what my next year birthday pick. Because next year I wanted to do all books and movies that I haven't read or watched.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had like, I think 2 of them were picked for this year. But then I realized... And it sucks because one of them is one that I have literally been scheduling in my birthday month since we started. And it keeps not fitting with the rest of the thing. So it keeps getting pushed back. And I'm like, nope, I'm doing it next year. Nothing's changing that.
1 year from now.
Yeah. So that's
okay. You know what? We'll make it through and then we'll have chipper, happier times because we have listener picks.
I like that you think that.
Give her some happy ones, y'all.
As we already have quite a few not. There's some.
We got some good ones.
Yeah. You'll be happy with Lord of the Rings.
I sure will.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to the many, many people who have
at Nerd Party.
Yes.
But yeah, there's quite a few dark ones that I was surprised with. And we've got way too many. Please, if you're going to send us in pics. Starting now, we have like 3 or 4 TV shows.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
Please stop.
Yeah. I was looking at the schedule and I was like, oh shit.
Please, no more TV shows.
Yeah, we can only do a few in a season. So
Oh my gosh.
Actually, let's read them off so that people know in case they're like,
yeah,
this is the one that I'm going to do.
Let me find it somewhere around here. So we have Lord of the Rings, Schindler's List, Blood and Chocolate, Where the Crawdads Sing, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, Defending Jacob, The Fall of the House of Usher, Lost Girls, I Am Legend, The Warriors, Matilda, Nim, and that's what we got so far.
Mm-hmm. So three TV shows.
Three. Which ones are the TV shows?
Lost Girls, Defending Jacob, and The Fall of the House of Usher.
Okay.
The only one that I don't know
Legend
anything about is Blood and Chocolate. I know it's a werewolf one. Werewolf movie.
Oh.
Romance.
That's the only one you don't know anything about?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I'm the opposite. Cool. I guess that's that. Cool.
All right.
Okay. And with that, I'll be gone in the dark.
Went off script.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shoutouts to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze
for Book Tales.